Blog Talk Radio.
Considering what is going on in this Western Hemisphere, you got a madman in the office saying, "I ain't going nowhere. You can't make me leave." I don't care about them stinking people dying. I like to play golf. Yeah, you certainly need to know where to put your priorities. And putting your priorities is in your best favor. And that is in the word of the Most High. Yeah, that's where you need to put your priorities. Truth be told. Truth be told. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Intense Study Show. But before we get into our studies, I'd like to make mention of a whole lot of deaths has been occurring in our communities, our children, by our enemies, while we're distracted with Trump getting out of office. Our children in Louisiana, Texas, New York are dying and end up missing, or sexually abused by even those in our own community. Yes, we need devotion. Because something that's quite dear to my heart, three things. The elderly, which I am one of. Children and animals. They're dear to my heart. So when you abuse either one of them, I sometimes wish very wholeheartedly that we were back in our own land so we could dispense out true justice. It's true. We need devotion. And with that devotion, we need to be looking toward going back home so we know what true justice is and how to dispense that justice. So let us get started in our study, shall we? No, wait just a minute. My brother and friend from New York City, Cartrell, I'm going to turn his mic on. I'm sure he has some commentary on what I just spoke about before we get started. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yamsuf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yes, everybody ain't going back home. We got to find out what Yah requires of us before we get there. Because Everybody ain't going to make it, man. We got to change our spirit here while we're in captivity.
Should be told.
You're not getting back there without good behavior, good character, and obedience to our Creator.
Exactly. And the way you treat each other and whatnot, Cadre. No, you're not getting back there. Not the way, any kind of way you think, whatever you want, howsoever you want. No, you ain't getting back there like that. You can get that nonsense out of your mind. See, that's why Cartrell and I and our other fellow students, we go on these archaeology studies so we can know how to get back. So that's part of going back on these studies also. Cartrell, the mic is yours.
Yeah, it's part of character building. We look for role models. And we haven't been taught proper role models in this Western Hemisphere. But when we do these archaeological studies, we can find out the role models we need to be following.
Exactly.
And how they connect with the Most High. So I just hope our people are not hard-hearted like Pharaoh, but they're not willing to change. Because some people are hard-hearted, and they're stuck in their ways, and they will never change. But it's really about change, because the world is on the path of destruction. With the wickedness that's going on in the world, they just busted. They're starting to bust people in the Boy Scouts for sexual abuse to these 90,000 Boy Scouts.
Are you kidding me?
Nah, like today was the last day they had to file. They said 90,000 people came forward today alone.
I thought
the Catholic Church was bad, but the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, like that.
90,000.
Huh? Man, they're like that tit for tat, Cartrell. Hey, look here. I thought the Boy Scouts would be teaching you how to tie a knot, not being tied into a knot.
Yeah. And they're part of the Catholic organization, which is one reason I never joined them. They Catholic organization. Boy Scouts. I'm Israelite. I can't join anything Catholic.
Right.
But they seem to have a problem with that.
Well, no. Yeah, they got a problem with it. A real big problem. abusing little boys and girls. Yeah, they got a problem with it. Turn them out, Katya. Turn them out. That's why it's urgent that we come on this show. Sometimes Katya and I get tired. I mean, as a matter of fact, we had to put a cousin to rest today, 3 years older than I was. And I had to get back here, you know, and I'd take me a nappy nap. I thought I'd do a Cottrell on y'all. I walked around, I woke up, walked around, pitter-patting around. I looked at the time. I thought, man, it's almost showtime. So I had to get ready. Yeah, we like to be doing something else. But as the world turns, as universe turns, it's so much that is going on so wrong that it's imperative that Cottrell and you and I, we study these things in order to stand in the gap. Truth be told. Okay, Cottrell.
Yeah, my condolences to your family, your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I too lost a cousin, Ari Ben Yehuda, Benjamin. He's one of the brothers that composed a lot of songs that we sing in various Israelite places.
Oh, okay. And you know, the strange thing about that, when you and I was texting, when you told me that he was 3 years older than we are, well, my cousin was 3 years older than we were.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's, you know, as you said, the Most High just positioned all things, so it seems. Well, let's get into our studies then. Turn to the seventh chapter of Shemot. Oh, no, some of you call it by its Greek name. We're going to call it by its original. Names are important. Always important to get everything correct with the Most High. Names are important. Shemot. Okay? May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying, and most importantly, the application of His said word, not Yom Suf, not Cottrell's, not yours, but His said word, incorporate it, apply it into your lives. Okay. The Elohim said to Moses, see, I place you in my role, in the role of Yah to Pharaoh. I put you in that position. And with your brother Aaron as your prophet, you shall repeat all that I command you. No, not what you want. All I command you. And your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, to the Israelite, and to let the Israelites depart from his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Reason being that I may apply my signs and marvels in the land of Mizraim. And when Pharaoh does not heed you, I will lay my hand upon Egypt and deliver my ranks, my people, the Israelites, from the land of Mizraim with extraordinary chastisement. And the Mizraimites shall know that I am the Elohim. When I stretch out my hand over Mizraim and bring out the Israelites from their midst. It seems to me, Cottrell, and fellow students, the Most High, rightfully so, is seeking all the adulation, which he should. See, some of us has the game twisted, as we say. Some of us wants to seek personal adulation for whatever reason, unbeknownst to me. Now, see, the Most High don't need you seeking his glory, okay? And some of us, for whatever reasons, are doing things for whatever reason. But see, he put Moses and Aaron in their place, and he gave instructions so I can show them that I am the Elohim. And from this captivity, if he did it in that captivity for whatever reason, his reason, he's going to do it in this captivity. He don't need you seeking personal adulation from whatever group you may be in, from whatever camp you may hail from. He don't need you seeking no adulation. And you shouldn't be trying to seek adulation. Look at the disposition of Moses and Aaron. They didn't contradict what he said. They just sat silently by and followed instruction. I strongly urge you to take on the characteristic of our forefather. Sit silently by and follow instruction. That's what you should be doing. What say you, Cottrell?
The Most High is bringing judgment to Mizraim, because of the oppression that they put upon our people. And
right.
It's time to bring judgment. So all the evil that the Egyptians had done to our people cried out to the point where the Most High is standing up for judgment for our people. And he's going to bring our people out of Egypt, like you said, with signs and wonders.
Right.
Because he already knows that Pharaoh is not going to listen to just let the children of Israel just walk out of Egypt just like that. So he's hardening him in his own evil. Because, you know, most I said, the people that worship idols, they just like the idols they worship. So Pharaoh's heart is hard. He don't want to deal with Yah. He's like, who's this God you talk about? I don't know him. So Yah said, okay, you don't know me? You're going to deal with Moses and you're going to deal with Aaron.
Right.
And Moses, you're going to be like me, and Aaron is going to be like you, the prophet.
Exactly.
That's quite a lot of power to put on one man, though. But Yah knew that Moses was humble enough to handle it.
Exactly.
Because we read the last week that
Moses
talking about, don't send me, I can't speak. I stumble with words.
Right.
Yah said, you're going now, Moses. You're going.
Right. Well, Moses had the right attitude, the right disposition. Moses wasn't trying to seek any personal adulation. And so he knew he had the right attitude. See, everybody ain't got the right attitude, Cartrell. And see, you got to know thyself. Just like Shakespeare said, once said, to thine own self be true. You got to be true to yourself. You got to know that you, I can't think that was, I'm going to get beside myself. I'm going to start saying some stuff that you ain't told me to say and do some things you ain't told me to do. To thine own self be true. That's why I think, Katria and fellow students, that's why the Most High loved King Dawood. Now, you can take note of his shortcomings, because we all got them. We all dirty. But the thing about King Dawood, he was a humble fella. He didn't seek that position, and he didn't even seek to put any harm on King Saul. He said, Most High, you blessed him. You anointed him. I'm not about to put my hand on him. Unlike some of us. Some of us don't mind knocking the hell out of each other. Some of us don't mind talking bad about one another. You know, see, the Most High knows how to pick them, Cartrell. That's why I always say the Most High knows how to put a good thing together. What say you, Cartrell?
So, what do you notice about Aaron?
Aaron's just laid back kind of guy. You know, Aaron ain't seeking the spotlight. Aaron just laid back, and he just following instructions.
So he's Moses' older brother, right?
Exactly. Right.
And we know that Moses was humble.
Right.
But they don't talk about how humble Aaron is, because we haven't heard a word from Aaron, and he's following his little brother around.
But see, yes, you have heard. See, actions speak louder than words, Cartrell.
Mm-hmm.
The actions speak louder than words. Yes, we have heard from him, not in a verbal sense, but his actions show forth the kind of character Aaron had, unlike some of us, unfortunately. All right. Okay. And it's funny that, see, that's why Cartrell is so right about so many things. He said the Most High has synchronized everything. And we've got to find out the ages. And then Moses and Aaron did. They showed dispense action as the Elohim commanded them. So they did. Moses was 80 years old. And Aaron was 83 when they made their demand on Pharaoh. These was OGs. You know, me and Cartrell, we always talk about this. Sometimes you can't teach old dog new tricks. Well, especially if there's a one-eyed dog with one leg, you can't. But it seemed like these brothers had all their mental facilities together. And they were humble brothers. They weren't seeking the spotlight. They just, you know, Moses said, I got a speech impediment. Aaron ain't said a word. Aaron just followed instructions. Aaron said, hey, all eyes on me. I'm Aaron, baby. I'm Aaron. Yeah, he ain't do that. Moses is jumping the spotlight. All eyes on me. I'm Moses. I'm coming to set y'all free. See, you got to look at the attitude of these brothers. And if your attitude is not juxtaposition to their attitude, you need an attitude adjustment. If you're seeking the spotlight, you're seeking personal adulation, you need to get you an attitude adjustment. Matter of fact, we always strongly advise you on the Real Talk for Real People Intense Investigatory Archaeology Study to get you a new thinker, just like King Dawa, because all of our thinkers are broken. See, you need the right thinker. See, a right thinker help facilitate your actions.
Now, so, you got two 80-year-old men.
Exactly.
Walking up in the courthouse of Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
You think Pharaoh was intimidated?
Man, get them old goats out of here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was young. He was young, robust Pharaoh. Had all his muscles and everything. He had all his battery. Man, get them two old goats out of here, man. I'm not about to let nobody go. You know what I mean?
So,
they better be glad they
are. Let you know that Pharaoh wasn't going to take them serious.
We
got two 80-year-old men coming up in here talking about
let people go.
Go where, fool?
I think it was, you know what, contrary to truth be told, I thought it was a laughing matter with Pharaoh. I think he found that
serious.
I think he's like, here they come. Look at his chorus. Look, come on now.
Until it got serious.
Yeah, then he had to take
them serious. Yah started showing his signs and his wonders. That's when it got serious.
Right. Well, before that point, Carjet, there was a laughing stock, I'm sure.
Yes. See, but it didn't take much for Aaron to be convinced. He didn't see what Moses saw. Aaron didn't see the burning bush.
No.
He might have saw the serpent. I mean, Moses' staff turned into a snake. He might have saw his hand, you know, turn white and then turn back, you know, to his regular color. It sure didn't convince the other elders, did it?
No.
It was like...
Yeah. Yes or no?
I mean, you made it worse for us. Now we got to go get straw and keep up the amount of bricks that we had before.
Well, yes and no. On the first part, when it first came, they seemed like they were convinced. But when the Pharaoh put that extra work on them, seemed like all that...
the Lord faith immediately.
Right. When Pharaoh put them extra bricks on them, extra work on them, I think... they need a new convincing. All right, let's get back to our studies. Y'all got your magnifying glasses and you got your brush. Let's brush off all this dirt of history. And the Elohim said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh speak to you and says, produce your marble, you shall say to Aaron, he giving them detailed instructions. He tell Moses, you should say to Aaron, I'm showing y'all how to operate. Aaron, take your rod and cast it down before Pharaoh. It should turn into a serpent. So Moses and Aaron came before. See, the Most High had the script. Only thing you had to do, read the script. So Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh and did just as the Elohim had commanded, just as. Aaron cast down his rod at the behest of Moses in the presence of Pharaoh and his couriers, and it turned into a serpent. Then Pharaoh, for his part, summoned the wise men and the sorcerers. See, sorcery is real. Some of y'all don't think sorcery is real. Just look what's going on in the Western Hemisphere. You got the great wizard sitting in the White House, and he ain't going nowhere. You don't think sorcery is real? Come on now. And the Egyptian magicians, in turn, did the same with their spells. Each cast down his rods, and they turned into serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed their rods. Yet Pharaoh's heart stiffened, and he did not heed them, as the Elohim had predicted and said. And the Elohim said to Moses, Pharaoh is stubborn. He refused to let the people go. go to Pharaoh in the morning as he's coming out to the water and station yourself before him at the edge of the Nile. Take with you the rod that turned into a snake and say to him, the Elohim, the Yah, the Elohim of the Hebrews sent me to you to say, let my people go that they may worship me in the wilderness. But you have paid no heed until now. Thus said the Elohim, by this you shall know that I am the Elohim. See, I shall strike the water in the Nile with the rod that is in my hand, and it will turn into blood. And the fish in the Nile will die, the Nile will stink, so that the Mizraimites will find it impossible to drink the water of the Nile. And Moses and the Elohim said to Moses, giving him complete detailed instructions, say to Aaron, take your rod and hold out your arm over the water of Mizraim, its rivers, its canals, its ponds, all of its bodies of water, that they may turn to blood. And there shall be blood throughout the land of Mizraim, even in the vessels of wood, and so their storage containers. And Moses and Aaron did just detailed instructions as the Elohim commanded. He lifted up the rod and struck the water in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and his couriers. And all the water in the Nile was turned into blood, and the fish in the Nile died. The Nile stank to the Mizraimites, so that the Mizraimites could not drink water from the Nile. There was blood throughout the land of Mizraim. When the Mizraimites, magicians, did the same with their spells, Pharaoh's heart stiffened. He said, hey, my folk can do the same thing. And he did not heed them, as the Elohim had spoken. Pharaoh turned and went into his palace, paying no regard even to this. And all the Mizraimites had to dig round about the Nile for drinking water, because they could not drink the water of the Nile. When 7 days had passed after the Elohim struck the Nile, the Elohim said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and said to him, thus said the Elohim, let my people go that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, then I will plague your whole community, your whole country with frogs. The Nile shall swim with frogs, and they shall come up and enter your palace, your bedchamber, your bed, the houses of your couriers, and your people, and your ovens, and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your couriers. I'm going to put them frogs on. Man, can you imagine, Cottrell? Can you imagine, fellow students? You going to need some owl and frogs in the bed. You're in the bed going to sleep. And 3 o'clock in the morning, some moving around in the bed. I mean, you going to the restroom. And then you probably got little pots and frogs jumping right in your pots. You're going to put something in your oven, and you hear something in your oven. I mean, come on. That had to have been very annoying. Oh, I mean, everywhere. I mean, every time they're coming in the palace, they're sitting around like they're the king in the palace. Man, that had to have been very annoying to a Pharaoh. But as you will see.
If you think that was annoying, how about blood everywhere you turn the water on?
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
You went to get water. And the fish was dead, and they were stinking. The fish was stinking up the land. You know about dead fish.
Oh,
when they die, how bad they stink.
And then you go into you got some water stored in your water jar, and you go get some water out your water jar, and it's blood. Then you go into the water your cattle, and then that water's blood. I mean, just a bloody situation.
They couldn't drink for 7 days or wash.
Mm-mm.
Really cook? How you gonna cook? And you ain't got no water to cook with.
Well, they had to get they had to dig around the Nile in order to get anything, sustaining water in order to do any. But that was difficult. that was a difficult place. And that water wasn't the best water, just digging around the Nile, trying to setting up wells around the Nile just to get some drinking water. I'm pretty sure they couldn't even bathe because that water wasn't the best filtered water. And so they had a very trying time, especially when you don't listen to the Most High. Kajriel and fellow students, you're going to have a very trying time because the Most High always tell us in detail that he has the script. Only thing you had to do, follow the script. Unfortunately, that's part of our problem, Kajriel. We've been paralyzed. Yeah. We've been paralyzed, Kajriel, because we've been psychologically abused. You're paralyzed because you're psychologically and physically abused. You're paralyzed. You don't know who instruction to follow. But if you want to get out of that paralysis, we strongly advise you to follow the word of the Most High so they can get you out of paralysis. So it's going to be a froggy, bloody situation for you if you don't. I'm not only talking about us as a nation. I'm talking about other nations, too. If you have paralysis because of what's going on, you better start following detailed instructions of the Most High, just like Aaron and Moses did. It's the only way that's the only thing going to remedy your situation. Contrary, you have the mic. You have the floor, brother.
Yeah, speaking of the frogs, I was in Virginia not too long ago with a Yemi Yahoo, the football player, and another football player who was bigger than him.
Right.
And this brother, he looked like he played lineman or defense.
Right.
And we were down there one night, and we were going back to our room.
Okay.
And there was a bullfrog in front of the door, and the big brother seen the bullfrog. And he was scared to go in the door because the bullfrog was there. I'm looking at this big house, brother.
You big soft joker. Man, it could have been your
like 325 pounds.
Yeah. It could have been your
like handle 5 men at one time.
Yeah, but he's scared of a and little bitty bullfrog.
A bullfrog, bro. A bullfrog.
Man, I was juicy bullfrog. I said, bullfrog, you got two choices. You can leave.
I'm talking about one bullfrog. We ain't talking about a whole nation full of bullfrogs. We're talking about one bullfrog.
He'd have been running around all around Mizrine, wouldn't he?
He would have been froze because he wouldn't know where to go.
Because
like frogs everywhere.
Yeah, Yom Su would have gave that bullfrog an attorney. You got two choices, bullfrog. You can go on, drift into the night. A Yom Su gonna kick into the night. I just want you to leave. Get out of my way now. I don't want to hurt you. But you're going to have to get out of the way because if I open the door, you're going to go on in. But go on, get out of the way. Go on. I'd have waved my hand. Go on now. Go on. But before I kick you back to the woods. You know what I mean?
It started raining and bullfrog posted up right in front of the door. Like, oh, snap. That's the biggest bullfrog I've ever seen.
What happened, Kajia? How'd y'all get him to get out of the way?
Just chased him. Bullfrogs ain't got no teeth.
No. Did the big fella help y'all chase him away?
No. He was frozen in time, son. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you 390, 900 pounds, you scared a little damn bullfrog. A bullfrog, you tackle men bigger than me.
Yeah, you flipping men sideways.
And you talking about professional man. He played for the Minnesota Vikings.
And the bullfrog got him back paralysis, just like we talked about.
Bullfrog got him.
You had him in a state of paralysis. A whole lot of us in a state of bullfrog paralysis. I mean, right now as we speak, in a state of bullfrog paralysis.
I bet you didn't notice something about this chapter.
Go ahead.
Most people mix up when they see the movie The Ten Commandments.
Enlighten me.
Okay, who's rod we using here?
We're using Moses' rod.
Nope.
Aaron's rod.
Yes, Aaron's rod.
So Aaron's rod, the Most High infused all the power in Aaron's rod.
For these instances right here, Moses still got his rod.
Okay.
But he told Aaron to throw down his rod.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Right? Aaron's rod, this thing turned into a crocodile. It wasn't no snake.
No.
It's a different word than the word they used for Moses' rod.
Right.
Tananin, something like that. Tananin.
Right.
They said that's a crocodile. and the crocodile swallowed up the Egyptians' rods that turned to snakes.
So the Egyptian rods were snakes.
Yeah.
And
Aaron's rod turned into a crocodile.
And
at least that's what they say.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's why words. What did we say? What did we say, students? Words are important because it gives you the true definition. But if you're going by what somebody else said, and you don't take it upon yourself to study what you need to study, then you're left out of the equation. Okay? Words are important in every area of your life, especially in your lives, the Most High is concerned. I mean, if you think words are important on your bank statement, on your insurance statement, on your welfare state, on your Social Security, the word of the Most High is much more important than any one of those words, okay? And you need to pay intense attention to those words and the word usage. Thank you, Cartrell, for enlightening us, my brother and friend. Thank you.
Yes. And who stretched their rod out over the waters?
Aaron.
Aaron stretched his rod out over the waters. So when you see the movie The Ten Commandments and they show you Moses stretching out his rod each and every time, that's wrong.
That's wrong. Dead to the wrong, Cartrell. Dead to the wrong.
So Moses' rod had power, and Aaron's rod had power.
That's why these studies, as we said, over and over and over again, intense investigatory archaeology studies are essential to your welfare and survival, because you need to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you the Most High. Okay? Truth be told. Cadre, any more commentaries?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
But those are things that we miss. We read right past it. You thinking it's Moses, but he's talking about Aaron.
Okay.
Stretching out his rod. And the fact that the Egyptians were able to duplicate, right?
What did they tell you?
Everything that they were doing.
What did they tell you?
Tells you a lot. They had powers too, didn't they?
Yep. What did they tell you? And your enemy today got power. What did they tell you?
Not like the Egyptians had in ancient time. They didn't know what the Egyptians did.
No, not with the Egyptians, but they got power.
Mm-hmm.
They got wizards and they got sorcerers. They got
scientists.
Witches and scientists. That's why this fool up in the office said, "You gonna love me. I am telling you, I ain't going nowhere."
You know what they said, right?
What's that, brother?
They have ample means to evict trespassers.
What they gonna drag them out of that country and singing, "You gonna love me, you gonna love me."
You know, New Yorkers ain't going out without a fight. Now. Come on, man, we from New York, bro.
He's so proof his metal, Cadre. I'm from New York City. I ain't going nowhere. They ain't gonna look here. They ain't gonna look for another New Yorker soon to try to put
it. Heck no. Not another New Yorker. Oh no.
Hey, that's how they act.
It's a hard nut to crack right here, son.
Yeah, I will tell you. That's how they act. No, man.
He done mesmerized the cornbread part of the country. They all
he got them mesmerized. And they done pulled the curtain back. He back there working the machine. They done pulled the curtain back on him so many times. Then they still believe Donald Trump gonna mark up a thine rifle. Well, that don't make no sense. He's getting rid of your health care and everything. So you really think that makes it? Well, you know, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Marching in the street, talking about voter fraud.
Yeah.
He's been crying voter fraud ever since he ran for politics, right?
Yeah.
He said the elections were rigged in 2016.
Yeah, when he thought he wasn't going to win.
No, he knew he was going to win. He let you know that it was rigged in his favor. He told you it was rigged. Bold-faced.
Right.
Bold-faced. He told you. These elections are rigged. If they were rigged, why'd you accept the result?
Well, see, here's the deal. It was okay for him when it's rigged. When an AK, when the powers that be say, hey, you got to get out of there. Oh, hell no. I ain't going nowhere. I know how y'all got me and him. I mean, I know y'all don't want me no more. Well, you can't have him. Well, he don't know. They put a bullet in John F. Kennedy. These folks don't play now. They'll put a bullet in you. They put a bullet in Dr. Martin Luther King. They put a bullet in Malcolm X. They shipped Marcus Garvey on out of here. So look here. Talk better than you, but you don't know these people now. These people ain't.
They shot Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford too. And
they were ready. They get them in pocket. Okay, so you better go on now, Mar-a-Lago. Because these folks don't play the people, the real power behind the scene. If you ain't got Yah, you ain't got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, well, you on your own, partner. And I know you don't know Yah. Not by the some of the things you didn't say it. I don't need to pray to nobody for forgiveness or nothing. I ain't never did nothing wrong. Partner. is you the same one that I grab by the coochie and take a tic tac and I kiss him? Well, I'm a movie star. I'm something special. Come on, bro.
Hey, listen. Believe me, your words come back to haunt you. What was this chant for Hillary Clinton? Lock her up. Now who are they gonna lock up? Donald Trump and his whole criminal family.
Look at New York is just waiting.
Oh yeah, they looking their chops, huh? They waiting for
them. Whenever that trick, cause they now already got to go ahead the green light.
Why you think he's been hiding his taxes?
the power to beat it already told him, get him. We gonna teach him. Whenever we tell you go, you say go. Whenever we tell you get lost, you get lost. See, it's like they did him like the Godfather. They did him like. Well, two things, they didn't like Cool Hand Luke and the Godfather. Now, Cool Hand Luke said, what we have here is a failure to communicate. You remember how that chef used to always tell Cool Hand Luke, Cool Hand Luke used to always run off, and then Cool Hand Luke marked him in the church, come out the church. See, they be sending signals. And Cool Hand Luke came out of church marking the warden. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And they blew Cool Hand Luke off. See, they send signals. And just like the Godfather says, let me give you an offer. You can't refuse. they give them an offer. They gave them an offer to get on out of Harlem. Well, we'll give you a pass. But now you making things. See, you bad for business, Donald Trump. You don't run this. We run this. You bad for business. I mean, you got all the people out riled up and whatnot. You bad for business. We like to keep them blind and confused, but we don't want them at each other's throat. You bad for business, Donald Trump. We don't want that. We like to keep them blinded. We like to keep them waving the flag. We like to keep them just told in disarray. We like to sell drugs to them, let them kill each other. We like to make them rappers so they can talk about songs about killing each other, mistreating the women folks and whatnot. But see, you bad for business, Donald Trump. Now, you got them all in the street. They all riled up. We can't have none of that. And you got the poor Southern folk down there all riled up. We don't need that. That's bad for business. Then we got this Rona going on around here. You bad for business, Donald Trump. You got to go. And this fool's still up in there singing, talking about, you going to love me. See, he don't know who he playing with. See, if you ain't got Yah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you own your own, player. You own your own. All right, Cadrell, what say you, my brother?
You said a mouthful, huh? You said a mouthful.
It's true. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Cool Hand Luke, Cool Hand Trump. All right, listen. Turn to chapter 34 of. I think it's chapter 35. Yeah, it's chapter 35 of Job, and Elihu condemns self-righteousness. He's trying to imply, infer, and or suggest that Job is being self-righteous. As we said in these studies, see, Elihu wasn't off point if his baseline, if his common denominator was based on a set of circumstances that were applicable to wicked folk. But his baseline of reasoning is off because he don't understand the Most High. He don't understand what the Most High is doing, like Abiyah said. See, the Most High thinks the way he thinks and does what he wants to do. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. I do whatever I want to do. So Elihu's baseline is all off. Helter-skelter. He's making a false assumption on Job. Let's get right into it. May the Most High bless you by the intense reading and study of his said archaeological words, and most importantly, the application of said words.
Eliyahu has no business in the old man's conversation, trying to make a name for himself.
Bottom line.
But
he didn't get beside himself. He got a little kibble in business. Now he think he got all the sense in the world. He think he's something special. True, just like some of us, Cartrell. Unfortunately. Moreover, Elihu answered and said, do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than Yah? For you say, what advantage it will be to me? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned it? I will answer you. Your companions with you, you and your companions, look to the heavens and see. Behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you. And your righteousness, a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out for help because of the arm of the Almighty. But no one says, where is my Elohim, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven? Then they cry out. He does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely Yah will not listen to empty words or empty talk, nor would the Almighty regard it. Although you said you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now because he has not punished in his anger, taken much notice of folly. Therefore, Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. I mean, that man. Who we? Who? Elihu? Elihu? Man, young brother. He just went from bad to worse. And not only was you implying, referring and suggesting that Job was being self-righteous, you are implying and inferring injustice that his three so-called fair weather friends are the same, cut from the same cloth. And what are you, Elihu? Who are you? You had indicted all of them, not only Job. But you indicted the three so-called friends. What are you? Who are you? As if Job didn't know what you just said. As if the so-called three self-righteous friends didn't know who were really self-righteous. Didn't know what you said. Boy, young folk can really get beside themselves when they're not grounded in the truth of the Most High. And not only young folks, as Cartrell and I always say, sometimes you can't teach the old dog new tricks, especially if it's got one eye and one leg. It's lame. It's lame. Because you know why? As we talked about in the book of Shemot, sometimes the Most High has a baseline of instructions, a common denominator, especially when he gives you orders. That's a baseline operation. But then, on the other hand, the Most High does things behind the scene, unbeknownst to us. And see, when we are acting presumptuously and presume to speak for Yah, when we don't have any idea about what we're talking about, that's what I'm talking about, a baseline. A baseline is what you know what the Most High says, because he gives you orders. But beyond the baseline, you are presumptuous, and you are presuming that you know when you don't know. And thus you indict. Thus you imply, infer, and suggest that someone is acting this way or that or the other. And truth be told, you're standing in the midst of fool's paradise. Contrary to my brother and friend, what say you?
I say it's a good thing that he's dealing with his so-called friends and not his enemies like Bill Cosby. Imagine if these guys was his enemies. What would they have done to Job? Rather than bring, you know, compassion and healing and help to Job, you would think that they was his enemies. But then you look at Bill Cosby. These people are making accusations 40, 50, 60 years later.
Right.
And they take action on him. And
right.
Do you believe them or do you believe him?
I can't believe nobody after 40, 50, 60 years ago, Katya.
Why didn't you do it then?
Yeah.
Why wait so long? Now you're going to act like you're all emotional after all these years that he did this. Should have like made a report back then when it happened.
Exactly.
If it really happened.
Well, see, that's
when that.
That
it happened.
Well, see, that is not our justice system. Our justice system wouldn't go for that. Our sister couldn't breathe. Nothing 40, 50 years later, when she had ample opportunity. Maybe a child could, because a child being sexually abused and whatnot, maybe can't speak for themselves, but a grown-ass woman and a grown-ass man, excuse my French, can't be bringing up nothing 40, 50 years when you have ample opportunity to say it in the beginning. Okay? That's just that on that. So I ain't buying all that. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But I just can't use that tainted evidence. And all y'all got together, all y'all marching, 4-5 y'all. Yeah, he did it, girl. He did it, girl. I ain't buying that. I ain't buying the waterworks, okay? Because I know women can work some tears. I know some men can work some tears on you, okay? So I ain't buying all that emotionalism. Show me the facts. I ain't trying to hear all that. Maybe y'all think I'm harsh, but that's just the way it is. You know, I just can't buy that. What about you, Country? Can you buy that?
Well, I'm sure people got, you know, strong opinions about the Bill Cosby case. But that's all it is, strong opinions. Nobody really knows the truth except
right.
the people that's involved.
Yeah, I wasn't there. They wasn't there.
You know, something may smell fishy, but you got to have the facts before you make a judgment anyway.
Can you indict a man, Country, on fishy evidence?
No, not really.
Yeah.
It takes two witnesses. That's what the Most High said.
That's what the Most High said. That's what the Most High said. Because that's what he said, she said.
That's the he said, she said. Otherwise.
Right.
And that's how they came at him. He said, she said.
Exactly.
And they convicted him on he said, she said.
Nope. See, we don't go in our land, we don't get down like that. We have stringent guidelines. Two or more witnesses. Okay? I can't pop up there. Cartel stole my money. Cartel said, oh, I ain't stole too much. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. They can't, and just because I said it, they can't convict Cartel on that evidence. Although he may have, they can't convict him on that evidence. He said,
I would never do that.
I know you wouldn't, Cartel. I'm just using it as a a metaphor.
Use Mickey Mouse, man. Don't use my name, bro.
Okay. Well, what if Mickey Mouse stole my money? What if I said Crazy Cat stole my money? Crazy Cat, I love you, Yamsu. And I hit Crazy Cat with a brick. Crazy Cat stole my money. And then I hit Crazy Cat with that. They actually saw me and saw Crazy Cat with that brick. But I can't prove Crazy Cat took my money, right? All right. That's how we dispense justice. See, they have a different form of judicial system in this Western Hemisphere. It don't hardly work for them, and it ain't never worked for us. Jupiter. Ask Michael Jackson. Ask Prince. Ask O.J. Simpson. And ask Bill Crosby. Ain't never worked on us. Ain't never worked for us. Truth be told, because that judicial system is slain it not to work for us. It's slain it not to really work at all, truth be told, only for rich people in charge of everything. That's how this system has been designed. Rich white men. Truth be told. Contrary, what say you, my brother?
I say, if you're talking to Michael Jackson or asking Prince anything, you're dealing with necromancy.
Oh,
but you should ask O.J., you could ask Bill Cosby what the story is, what the deal is with our enemies. But as hard a time that Joe's friends are giving him, at least he's not in jail. But maybe he might think it might be better, you know, be in jail and be in solitary confinement than to be up under his friends.
He's abusing it, brother. He's abusing it, brother. Sometimes physical incarceration is better than mental incarceration. They are psychological. Abuse. This brother's already been inundated with some of the greatest travesties in the world. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. His wife getting on his nerves. His so-called fair weather friends getting on his nerves. And his so-called young brothers have stepped up like he got all the sense in the world. He's something special. If that ain't psychological abuse, Contrail, I don't know what it is. Okay?
Yeah, like, it might have been better that Joe be in jail in solitary confinement than dealing with what he was dealing with.
Exactly.
Like said, that's ripping at his soul, his heart, his emotions.
Right.
Because he know he's a good man. He helped people when they were down. Ain't nobody trying to help him when he's down, though. And that's a hurtful feeling. It's so hurtful. I mean, you took care of your friends and, you know, you accommodated them. You showed them hospitality. They saw how you took care of other people. Now they see that you're down on the ground and they want to kick you as hard as they can.
They want to pile on you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
But that's how people do. That's human nature. You want to be so righteous. I know why you're down there like that. I could tell. But you ain't saying that. But we could read the signs. You know what's going on here, Joe. You can't hide it because it's obvious.
Yeah, Soup, you did something wrong. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, Soup, I know why. What happened to you? Because you ain't no good. You did something. We don't know what it is. You might make a full confession, Sue.
That's what they're saying to Bill Cosby, right? We know you did something. That's why you're in jail, brother. You had to do something for them to throw you in jail.
Uh-huh.
And it might not necessarily be so.
Well, you know, they do that in our country all the time. You see it on the news. You see how they talk. Well, they must have did something wrong. The police wouldn't have killed them. Truth be told,
come to find out that innocent people behind bars, like the brother Ronnie Long.
Yeah, Ronnie Long.
Gotta let him go.
Yeah, you know what? Even when they find out wrong, they still ain't trying to let you go, Contrail.
That's true. You still got that. Still got that label, ex-con. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I sure got it. But you know what? If it wasn't for the Most High, that would have stopped me. See, the Most High don't care what men label you. Okay? Most High don't care nothing about that. People put labels on you. The Most High is
Moses was a felon, and Joseph was an ex-con. So they all in the same book. Could label Joseph an ex-con and Moses a felon.
Most High don't care about people putting labels on you. Right, he don't care about nobody putting labels on you, putting you in a pigeonhole. Because he'll take you out that pigeonhole and use you for his great work. So, man, don't pay no attention to what people say. It don't matter because it doesn't mean anything. But I was just thinking, Cartier, when we were talking, let me share this with you. A lot of our people are recipients of Social Security. If you are a recipient, they got a con out now. As I was coming home from the burial of one of my cousins, I get a call. This, and I hear this message. This is Social Security. We're doing some financial, we're bringing financial charges against your Social Security. I said, okay, all right. So, you know, me, thanks to the Most High, I'm very meticulous. I like to know the who, what, when, where, and or how, and how this come about. So I called the number back, and I said, Most High kept cutting the phone off. She said, who is it? I said, this one's up. Okay, let me look in your information. And the Most High cut off. I called back, the Most High cut off again. And so I called the Social Security 1-800 number. I say, hey, I get a call from out of Georgia talking about you guys are doing some going up illegal against my Social. He said, that's a scam. He said, they're just trying to get your Social Security number so they can run a scam on you. That's why they want your name and everything. They can say, what's your name? And let me check the record. And what's your full Social Security number? They sound all like they got all the sense in the world. They sound like they're real professional. But they conning you out there. So if Social Security doesn't send you anything in the mail in regards to any business or any business people send you some notification in the mail about anything, people are not going to call you about business. They're going to send you notification in the mail about serious business. So don't run for the okey-doke and scam out there, okay? This is, I'm sure going to share that with you, okay? Always be meticulous about everything, especially the word of the Most High, especially about anything in relationship to this Western Hemisphere, because all of it is tainted and crooked and cunning. It's true. Cartrell, what say you, my brother?
I said they can't deduct anything from money that you've earned through your working labor in Social Security or pension. They can't touch it.
Right.
So
they'll try to run a scam on you now. If you're green, they'll get you.
If you're elder, they think you're senile, you're going through dementia, or you're not
right.
Quick-witted.
Right.
But elders need to know they can't touch your Social Security nor your pension if you've earned it. So child support and all that kind of stuff, they can't touch it once you start receiving that.
And you
anyway,
question everything.
Yeah.
Don't take anything at face value. Question everything when it comes to your soul, your life, your livelihood, your family, your nation. You question everything because this is not the way it should be.
Those people are persistent. They call my house phone all day. I don't even answer the phone. If you call my cell phone and I don't recognize your number, I'm not answering it.
I'm not answering anyway. I'm not answering. I just happened because I was distracted. I think I was on another call or whatnot coming home, and that call came and I sort of answered. Normally, I'm like you, Country. I don't answer. If I don't know your number, I ain't gave you my number. What business you got calling this number? And then I hear him when they leave the voicemail. Oh, we're gonna take you to court. Okay, do it. I ain't never been to court yet. We're starting a legal proceeding against your Social Security. You better give us that money. I said, you know what I tell them, y'all? I said, hold on, man. You know who you talking to? You better lower that tip in your voice. And secondly, don't you ever call this number again. Threatening me. I don't cotton to threats. Cartrell, you better get it right, and you better send that money. I said, hold on, player. Lower the temperature in your voice. Well, I'm a grown man. You're talking to me, all right? And secondly, and most importantly, don't you ever call this number again. You hear me?
I just called you back.
No, they didn't. Folks ain't crazy. They probably checked the record. He got PTSD. He probably go crazy. And he, we see him on food, but we see him in picture because he ain't that kind of brother. He's rather big fellow too. And we hear him on the Real Talk, Real People show. You know, he don't sound like no pusher. See, like the Most High has got him cognitively together and astute and all. They know, you know, they be the investigators. You know, so they check out. They know you. They probably see me on Food Book on the Real Talk for Real People investigatory show. So they have some inkling. No, they ain't that kind of brother. They ain't that kind of sister or whatnot. You know, no, them ain't the one. Them folks on that show, man, they cross every T, dot every I. They turn on every lead. And so they trusted the Most High. They love the Most High. They love justice. They know what justice is. And they ain't going. See, that's why these study sessions are imperative to you. It gives you resilience. It bolsters you up. It gives you a rock to stand on, a wing to be on his pinion, a tower to run to, a buffer against your enemies, our enemies, because we got a hell of a lot of them. And it comes all in, truth be told. Cottrell, my brother, yeah. My what's sister at?
Oh, she had to go to a funeral today.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, no, don't tell me.
I don't know the details. She texted me to let me know that she had, you know, been to a funeral.
Is everything okay?
I told you she didn't give me all the details. She just texted me that she had been to a funeral.
My bad. You know, my thinker broke sometimes. Okay.
Yeah, she just texted me while we were on a radio show that she had been to a funeral. So I don't have all the details, but that's the heads up she sent. But we sent letters to the governments around the world declaring who we are, who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is, and that we know that they have robbed us of our heritage and that this judgment is going to come upon them based on the prophecies that we've read.
Right.
So we sent it to the White House, to the Congress, to the Senate. We sent it to the UN. We sent it to the Vatican.
Right.
To the UK, to the EU, European Union. We sent it to the Arabs. We sent it to the African nations to declare worldwide, you know, that the children of Israel are awake. And as a result of the works that we put in, we see that Yah is bringing judgment worldwide. And we can see that our immediate oppressors have hardened their hearts, which is why Donald Trump does not want to leave office. And he wants to stir up commotion and civil war in his country.
True.
And we just have to know the plot and the scheme that Yah has put down, not what man is doing, not what, you know, Democratic Republican or Vladimir Putin or Kim Jong-un. We got to figure out how to follow Yah's command. Just like Moses and Aaron did, right?
True be told.
He said, go up into Egypt to 80-year-old men with 2 shepherd staffs. Really?
Really?
And tell Pharaoh what?
For real?
Yeah, I said, do what I tell you to do. Do what
for
I
real?
Told you to do.
For real?
Yeah, I said, do what I told you to do.
Set them up.
Did they do it?
Right. They certainly did.
Okay.
And we should be emulating that behavior and disposition and character of those brothers. Lean on the Most High and doing what he told you to do, what he tell you to do, and how he tell you to do. That's gonna solve your problems. Not you doing whatever you want to do whenever you feel like doing it. That's not gonna solve any of your problems. But Cottrell, my brother and friend, I know you have another lovely, encouraging and provocative and motivating songs for us. And so we'll wait.
All the songs are motivating, inspirational, spiritual, connecting you with the Most High Yah. And what does he tell us to do? He said, put not your trust in man, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. So all these movements that's going on in the country, don't align yourself with any of them unless you align yourself with the rejoining of the nation of Israel. That's the only thing that you should be aligning yourself with, because we're lining ourselves up with Yah. So we're going to read the 89th Psalm. Because we know black lives don't matter to these people. No matter how much you shout it in their ear. This psalm is by Ethan the Ezraite. I don't know who Ethan is, but he's a contributor to the Book of Psalms. His prayer is, I will sing of the mercies of Yah forever. So he knows the keys that the Most High has given us to everlasting life. Because Yah restores your soul if you're a righteous person. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. How are you going to do that if you die? It says, I will sing of Yah's mercies forever. That's how you're going to let all generations know. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heaven. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant, King David. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Yah. Your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to Yah? So you know the assembly of the saints is Israel. And Yah is faithful to us. We have not been faithful to him, but he has in fact been faithful to us and to our fathers. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to Yah? There's no comparing anything to the Most High. Elohim is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Yes, all of Israel should fear Yah, as should all the nations, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Yah, Elohim of hosts, who is mighty like you? O Yah, your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When it's raised Rah, you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth is also yours. The world and all its fullness. You have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Yah, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to Yah, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. And you spoke in a vision to your Holy One, and you said, I have given help to the one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant King David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of the wicked afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. For my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my father, my Elohim, the rock of my salvation, and I will make him my firstborn. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about King David. That's the subject matter at hand. The highest of the kings of the earth, not Jesus. We could go back, scroll back up, and see the name that he mentioned. And the name that he mentioned is in verse 20. He said, I have found of my servant, King David, with my holy oil, I have anointed him. Jesus was never anointed. King David was. King David had seven brothers older than him that the prophet saw. And the Most High chose King David to pour his holy oil on him and him alone. And what does he do? With whom my hand shall be, this is futuristic, established. Also my arm shall, will, in the future, strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and my name, his horn, shall be exalted. and I will set his hand over the sea. Who are you talking about, King David? Yes. And his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my father, my Elohim, the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn. So that kills Christianity right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the highest of the kings of the earth. That kills Christianity right there. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. Forever, 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 forever. His seed also shall I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. The days of heaven are forever and ever and ever and ever. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgment, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break. So just like our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose covenant Yah said he would not break, even if your children break it, he's not breaking it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like he's not breaking it, even if King David's sons go rogue. Right? That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He said, even if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgment, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, my loving kindness, I will not utterly take from him. From who? From King David. Nor allow my faithfulness to fail. Yah is faithful to King David. My covenant I will not break. What covenant? The covenant he made with King David. Nor after alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So there's no change in what he said about King David. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to King David. It's plain and simple and clear, isn't it?
Exactly.
His seed shall endure forever, which means he's going to have children that live forever. That don't mean all of them going to be kings and queens. And his throne as a son before me, it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. So everything in the heavens Yah created lasts forever. And he's saying the same thing about King David and his throne. But you have cast off and abandoned. Excuse me, you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned the crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all its hedges. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. They also turn back the edge. You have also turned back the edge of his sword and have not sustained him in the battle. You have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. How long, Yah? Will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? Because our time is limited. You got a birth date and a death date. What man can live and not see death? Yeah, we all got to go through that door. Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Only if you're on the same level as Enoch or Elijah the prophet, where the Most High snatch you right up off the planet. Yah, you are the former loving kindness, which you swore to King David in your truth. Remember, Yah, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples with which your enemies have reproached, O Yah, with which they have reproached the footstep of your anointed. Blessed be Yah forevermore. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Shalom. Lovely. Well, it's been a wonderful show, Cartrell.
Uh-huh.
And before we go, do you have any passing comments, afterthoughts?
Some powerful scriptures. I didn't know how powerful this 89th Psalm really was, but it talks about the covenant that the Most High made with King David. It's an everlasting covenant.
Everlasting.
And a lot of people, A lot of people don't penetrate the fact that King David said he will dwell in Yah's house forever. How are you going to do that? Unless he restores your soul. And if he can restore King David's soul, that means he can live forever as king of Israel. And this is futuristic. This hasn't happened yet where King David has power over the rivers and over the waters. We haven't seen that yet. But it's yet to come, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah. Restore my name for restore my soul for his name's sake. Not for my name, not for Kadriel's name's sake, not for Yom Suf's name's sake, but his name's sake. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, thank you, Kadriel. It seems that if you're not connected with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Elohim, you in real big trouble. And it's coming all in. You ain't going to have no peace of mind. You're going to be paralyzed. You're going to be stuck in motion. You ain't going to be able to know how to move. They're going to keep you distracted. They're going to keep you confused. And they're going to have you post-traumatic enslaved syndrome. Looking to them for all your answers when they have not one answer for you. Not one solution.
It won't be post-traumatic. It'll be current traumatic.
Okay, yeah. Let's go. We said words are important. Current. Say it, Kadriel.
Current traumatic slave syndrome, not post.
Yeah.
Because we're still going through it.
Yeah, you're going to have some paralysis. If you don't have the God of Abraham, Isaac, let me be serious. If you don't have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you don't know him, you're not following him, you're not doing what he said, how he said, when he said, you're going to have paralysis. You're going to be distracted. And it's going to come from all in. And you're going to be totally confused about everything. But if you have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that we study, that we intensely study, we cross every T, dot every I, we turn over every leaf, every stone, leave no stone unturned, life's get better for you. Real better for you. Well, that may not be proper English, better, but it sounds good. James Brown used to sing a song, and then they said that you shouldn't sing like that, but he made money off of it. So if James Brown can sing songs that they wouldn't thought that there was going to be proper, and it didn't go in their range of motion, what you can say, how you can say it. And so I can say some things that maybe it may not be proper English, but it gets the point across. Okay. Well, thank you, Kadriel. Thank you, brothers and sisters. May the Most High bless you. May he direct and order your steps. Because leaning to your own understanding will not solve any of your problems. Not in any shape, form, or fashion. I don't care who told you. But trusting in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah, I, Elohim, has all his solutions. As Kadriel alluded to in that last wonderful Psalms 89. Why don't you go back and study it? Why don't you go back and study it? Well, may the Most High bless you. We love you. And enjoy this song, because if you don't have Yah, it's going to come from all ends. Good night. Shalom.